Our text is Luke 9, beginning at verse 23. The Lord Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." This is the word of the living God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Beloved in the Lord, our subject this morning is what it takes to follow Jesus. Following Jesus sounds quite easy. At least it's made to be quite easy for some. Many claim to follow Jesus, but sometimes that claim to follow Jesus rings hollow, like those who follow the stock market or those who follow the Cubs as a baseball team. Or if you want to follow a different team, that's okay too. But you know how fickle fans can be. They follow the Cubs when they're winning. Of course, for us who are Cubs fans, that doesn't give us much opportunity to follow them because they don't often win. There are the Yankees fans, and people follow that team, and they root for their team. They get all excited about their team. But what is it that they do when the game is not on? Well, they do something else. They're not following them all the time. They have to go to work. They have to do other things. They have hobbies. But when it comes time for spring and baseball fever is in the air, that's when they start following. So it's kind of following on again, off again. And I do think that that does resemble the way in which many follow Jesus. Sometimes they follow him when it's convenient, but if a hard thing is said from a pulpit, they can turn away, sometimes turn away from the church so decidedly that they may never come back again. I've seen this happen through the years. They'll follow certain things about Jesus. They'll follow certain teachings about Jesus because, of course, those are wonderful things, such as the truths that are revealed in the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and they will affirm those, and they'll say, "Well, I try to follow Jesus by listening to the things in the Sermon on the Mount and trying to be that kind of a person." And if you like to be really straight-laced and legalistic about it, you try to say, "I follow Jesus by keeping the Ten Commandments." But following Jesus is not merely a matter of keeping the Ten Commandments or trying to be the person that he describes in the Sermon on the Mount with those many terms, "Blessed is the man who is," and then he gives those beautiful beatitudes. Following Jesus is radically different than many understand it, radically different than many who claim to follow Jesus. In reality, what it takes to follow Jesus is all-consuming, and it comes to us in the words of the one we claim to follow in our text, where he says, "If anyone would come after me," that is, follow me, "let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." There are three very powerful verbs in that statement. Deny, take up, that is, take up the cross, and follow. And those are the three things that give us an outline for what Jesus is explaining and revealing about what it takes to follow him. And we really need to hear what Jesus has to say. These are his words. These are the words of Jesus recorded in the scripture. He himself is telling us what it takes to follow him. It's not what a church suggests. It's not what the leadership of a church suggests. It's not what a group of people who gather from week to week and month to month and year to year suggest that this is their identity as a church and this is what they want to be as opposed to some other way of being a Christian. No, what it takes to be a follower of Jesus is really in these three words in our text: deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. He gives an explicit command for all those who would follow him. What does he mean when he says that you are to deny yourself? Well, self-denial, self-renunciation is a command to reject dependence upon yourself, completely rejecting depending upon yourself, and turning completely in absolute dependence to God. Self-renunciation here, or self-denial, is not denying ourself, as it were, but it's what Jesus means is that we are to deny our sinful, selfish nature. Specifically, that means that we are not to be gratifying ourselves and our sinful self, but doing the things that are pleasing to God. Self-denial means that we trust in God alone. Self-denial means that we turn to Christ and to Christ alone. Peter had just confessed in the earlier verses of this very chapter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ. Self-denial means that we deny our sinful nature and we submit to that lordship, that authority of Jesus over all of life. So we have to submit to his authority as it's revealed in his word over every area of our lives. Jesus is authoritative over your time, your talent, and your treasure. It reaches to the pocketbook, into the wallet. It reaches into the darkest corners of the heart. What do you do with your time? What do you look at? What do you listen to? What comes out of your mouth? Is Jesus Lord of your conversation? Is Jesus Lord of your opinions? Is Jesus Lord of your wealth? He's given it to you, after all, as a stewardship to use for him. Is he Lord of all? Self-denial means that you realize that your sinful heart has led you into rebellion against God, and you deny that. Now, you say in your own heart, "I will not follow the sinful inclinations of my heart because I have a new heart. I belong to Jesus and I follow him." He is Lord. And here in this passage, this self-denial is absolutely necessary. He says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." That's the first thing that Jesus says about being a follower of Jesus. You deny yourself. It's the exact opposite of what our culture, our world, tells us at every time we turn around. If you turn on your television and you listen for a moment to the commercials, look at those commercials through the eyes of the scripture, which calls for self-denial. What is the commercial trying to get you to do? Well, it's trying to get you to indulge some personal satisfaction on your part, whether it's buy this or that car, this or that piece of clothing, or take this vacation. All of those commercials are designed to reach into your heart and touch that place in your heart which will say, you know, I really should have that nice whatever, car, clothing, or other article that they're selling. Not that purchasing things is wrong, but I'm just suggesting to you that the commercials that we see come to speak to us as the world speaks to us and tells you, pamper yourself, indulge yourself, satisfy yourself. Why should you be without? Why should you go without these things? Why shouldn't you have pleasure upon pleasure upon pleasure? These are the messages of a culture that does not know what to do when the anger spills over into hatred and murder, when such desires are restricted, forbidden, or unfulfilled. You only need to tune in the newscast to see that the anger of the sinful heart that says, I want what is mine, is evident when you hear on the news that someone takes out a gun and shoots another person because he took his parking place or because he cut him off in traffic. That occurs time and time again. And the reason the person did that and this anger that spilled out into hatred and murder is because in the recesses of his sinful heart, he said about his parking place or his place in traffic, it's mine! You have a tinge of that in you, don't you? Have you not been cut off in traffic by someone? What happens when you get cut off in traffic? There's just this little teeny twinge of anger that wells up and sometimes spills out with words, which are angry words that kill, according to Jesus, and words that say something about the poor driving habits of that other person who had the audacity to cut you off. Or maybe there's some other experience similar to that. You get the picture. Jesus is saying, deny yourself. Self-denial means turning from the desires of the sinful heart to the absolute sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. If you're holding on to something and you're unwilling to deny yourself, then you're not really following Jesus at all, but you're pursuing the goal of your own sinful heart. Jesus tells us, deny yourself. And then the second verb in our passage is, he says, take up the cross. Take up your cross daily and then follow me. What does it mean to take up your cross daily? Well, daily cross bearing by the Christian is to be in daily devotion and commitment to the Lord Jesus. Jesus used the symbol of the cross because it would remind his followers of what it was that he came to do. He came to die on a cross, and when he died on the cross, he gave up his life. Jesus lived an entire life of suffering, and that is what we are called to in this symbol of cross-bearing. Followers of Jesus are called to suffer like Jesus suffered. Now, we're not called to die on a cross, but we're called to suffer as he suffered. And the only reason Jesus suffered is because he stood for one thing in this world and one thing alone. He stood for righteousness. And when Jesus stood for righteousness there in the midst of the Pharisees, they hated him because they did not love the righteousness of God, which he did. When Jesus stood for righteousness in the midst of those who did sinful things, they hated him. And they took up rocks and they wanted to pelt him with rocks and kill him because he stood for the righteousness of God. They did not. And so his entire life, which stood for righteousness, became a life of suffering because the sinful hearts of rebellious humanity despise the righteousness of God. So cross-bearing becomes then this symbol for everything Jesus did for us, including giving up his life in the ultimate sacrifice of self-denial. And he uses it now for a term that describes the suffering his followers would endure for his sake. For his sake. Now let's remember, we need to suffer for Jesus' sake, not suffer for our own pride. You know, there are many who would say, well, because I'm a Christian, I don't do certain things. I don't do them on certain days, and I don't do certain other things. The kind of attitude that says that is the kind of attitude that is saying, look at me and look at who I am, and it's fueling the pride of a sinful heart. But if we're standing and living for Jesus, we're going to suffer for his sake. We see that in many ways today, where his followers suffer for his sake. We see, though, the pastors in places throughout the world who are being martyred for the gospel, because in some places in our world today it is illegal to preach the gospel. But they go in boldness and in faith to preach the gospel in spite of the laws of those particular lands, because their commitment and their dedication and their loyalty is to God first and to God alone. And so there are many who are being martyred for the sake of the gospel. We aren't facing that in our community, but perhaps we're laughed at or thought a bit odd because we don't do certain things because of our commitment to the Lord Jesus. That's what Jesus talks about when he says, take up your cross daily. You may suffer the indignation of those who look at you with wonder and ask, how can you be so odd, so different? Why aren't you like the rest of the world? Because you stand for Jesus. Jesus says, take up your cross daily, and it's a daily activity, not on good days only, and not on bad days when you think you better do it because that'll make your day go better. Not occasionally when it's convenient and when you feel like, okay, I can do it today. Not just going to church and being a part of a Christian group, maybe even taking on a Bible study. Jesus is saying, no, daily discipleship, patterning our lives after the Lord Jesus, always being ready to serve him. Take up your cross daily, and then the third verb, follow him. Well, ultimately, the whole message is about following Jesus, and it comprises three things: denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. And following Jesus simply means obedience to the written word of God. So many times, you have heard, and I have heard as well, people who say, well, for me, to be a Christian means, and then fill in the blank. Have you ever heard that kind of a response or description? It's very common, because people think of what it means to be a Christian, and then they say, here's my idea of being a Christian, and I'm going to live up to my idea of being a Christian. Or you can trade that off and say, here's my idea of a church. And this is the kind of a church that I want to be a part of. And so I'm going to be a part of this kind of a church because this is my idea of a church. And there are churches that have been built and thrive and grow based on that principle. And it's the same whether it's individual or corporate for a church. What's the whole problem with that? My idea. My ideas are so proliferated with sin that no matter what construction I would put on whether it's my own individual discipleship or my own desire for a church, my construction would be riddled through with impurities, with sin, from an iniquitous heart that is bent on rebellion and sin against the high and holy God we serve. The problem is that we don't follow God's idea laid out, revealed in Scripture. And following Jesus means we do not follow our own constructions, imaginations, our own thoughts, our own ways of doing what we think pleases the Lord. Following Jesus means following Him every day in accordance with the written Word of God. And following Jesus means that we will, as we said a moment ago about taking up our cross daily, that will inevitably bring the sneer and the rejection of the world for keeping the standards God's word demands. We're seeing that today, aren't we? Churches today are bending on their commitment to the word of God in the area of homosexual marriage. That's in our news almost every week now. It's in our courts, where the court systems are beleaguered with people who are saying that they want to have equal rights and homosexual marriage. And the Church of Jesus Christ has always taken the word of God and said, God's word says that this is not to be condoned. This behavior, this lifestyle is not to be accepted in society, especially by the church. But now the churches are saying we need to reevaluate the Bible in the light of what's going on in the world today. In other words, we're smarter than God, and the churches are moving closer and closer to an absolute rejection of the word of God. The world has its influence so much in the church that the church looks so much like the world that you can hardly distinguish the two anymore. The church that stands on the infallible, authoritative, written, absolutely authoritative word of God is looked at as though you came from the most backwoods place on the planet, that you couldn't hardly be any sillier, or if you will pardon the word, stupid, than to believe that the Bible, in its old things that were said thousands of years ago, could possibly have anything to say to this modern society in which we live. And if you think that way, you are out of your mind. That's the message of the world to the church, to this church, to this pulpit today. Because this church and this pulpit proclaims the truth that's revealed on the pages of Scripture and denies absolutely 100% what the world is doing in this particular area. Do you think that the world is happy with that kind of a stand? Not at all. Do you think the world is happy with that kind of a Christian living next door to them who stands completely opposed to the lifestyle of members of their family, or perhaps to themselves as they move into our communities and as those people take places among us? The world does not want to hear what God's word has to say and what you have to say if what you have to say is what God has to say. That's what Jesus is talking about here. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. That means absolute commitment to the obedience to the Word of God, no matter what the cost. And what of the Christian that speaks out against these things? The ungodliness of homosexuality, the ungodliness of the abortion industry and its utter disrespect for life, which God has called sacred and which God preserves and protects in the Bible. The Christian that follows God's word is only going to incur the wrath of the society that seeks to increasingly glorify these activities. And as we've said, gay marriage has become the political issue that has churches and people who claim to be Christians taking a stand in direct opposition to the word of God. You can't do that and remain a faithful Christian. To do so will incur the wrath of God upon those who deny His word. Christian, you're called to follow Jesus. You're called to follow Him no matter what the world says, no matter what the world wants, no matter what this world and this sinful world is increasingly leveraging its strength against the truths of Scripture more than you can imagine. Will you follow Jesus or will you cave in? Will you speak the truth of God's word or will you remain silent, dishonoring the word, disloyal to the Savior who went to a cross and bore the sins of His people to redeem a lost and a fallen people? When we come to this text and it says, if anyone would come after me and let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, Jesus is telling us that true disciples follow and obey God's word. True disciples obey God's word. They do not support abortion. True disciples obey God's word. They do not approve, they do not condone, and they do not support a homosexual lifestyle. True disciples obey God's word. They speak out against gambling, which denies the truth of the providence and the sovereignty of God. True disciples obey God's word, standing apart from the world that lives in rebellion against God and His word. They stand on the infallible, firm foundation of the word of the living God. And a follower of the Lord Jesus rests daily in that scripture. True discipleship means you really, really understand what Jesus said in this verse. And He goes on to say, whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In other words, giving up the things of the selfish pleasures of life, denying ourselves, and following Jesus are really nothing lost, because what is gained is the eternal joy and the blessing of God, who speaks in the end to those who have obeyed His word, well done, good and faithful servant. It means that having lived for the pleasures of this world, but then turning from it and giving them up, we realize our satisfaction, our security, our joy, our happiness is not bound up with this world, but with Jesus. To give up everything for the sake of Jesus means that you give up the glory of a life that never ends, that you receive a glory of life that never ends in the presence of glory and the eternal joy of the presence of God, the only begotten Son of God who died that we might live. Giving up everything to follow Jesus saves your life from being wasted. It's a life spent in glorifying God. There's a story that I read of a man who lived in England who was very wealthy, extremely, extremely wealthy. And he was lying in his deathbed, having never converted to Christianity, visited by a nephew who beseeched him, who pled with him to turn his life over to the Lord Jesus before it was too late. And this wealthy man listened and almost, as it were, thought it might be good to turn his life over to Jesus. But then he thought of his wealth. He had servants who cooked for him. He had servants who did his clothes for him. He had servants taking care of his grounds. And he had wealth beyond measure. And he immediately recoiled from that message of the gospel. And he said, I'm not dead yet! I'm not dead yet. And he refused to give up his life for Jesus' sake. And as a result, he lost it eternally because he did not come to trust in Jesus. Jesus is the greater prize. Jesus is the everlasting joy. Jesus is worth giving up everything because we gain all. You don't have to become a martyr. You don't have to sell all of your worldly goods and live on a street corner or as a hermit. But you do have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's what it takes to follow Jesus. Amen.